Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And into the home stretch we go, 908. Don't forget, you can have this show delivered directly to your phone absolutely free. You can listen all 4 hours, one specific hour, or just the hottest clips. Download the Odyssey app. Follow me, Tommy Tucker. It's that easy. We realize you can't always listen to the entire show live, so Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want, how you want. That goes for this show or any of the WWL shows you love. Download the free Odyssey app today and take control, or just tell your smart speaker, play WWL. We began this morning at 6:15 talking to Patrick Penfield, a professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University, about grocery prices, about undocumented farm labor, and how the rounding up, if you will, of undocumented farm workers could affect the supply chain as it relates to food. And somebody texted in and asked about hiring migrant farm workers. And we reached out to Patrick and we found out that, and I'm going to read what he said, hiring migrant farm workers through the Department of Labor H-21A visa program would cost a farmer several thousands of dollars more than hiring an undocumented migrant worker. When a farmer uses the H-2A program, they must pay for the fees for the H-2A applications, transportation and housing, prevailing minimum wage in that area, and other compliance costs. If the federal government decided to help farmers by subsidizing these costs in order to help them transition to this new employment process, it would help the situation. But then that goes to the conversation we had at 7:15 with Robert Posen about debt and deficit and government spending. So nothing's free, right? So, and I also understand that you don't want open borders, but every action has a reaction, and that's the only thing we try to document here. With that being said, we welcome in DJ Rasmussen, former researcher, now runs a climate risk analytics firm, to talk about storm surge along the Gulf Coast. Good morning, DJ. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. Tell me, I don't even know how you go about measuring a storm surge event or the risk, or is storm surge getting worse? What does that even mean?
Yeah, it's a great question. So storm surge is really the sort of the wall of water that gets created by storms like hurricanes and tropical storms and also nor'easter storms on the East Coast. And so this wall of water is primarily generated from the winds of the storms themselves. And when this water moves over land, it can cause a lot of problems in the form of flooding of various sorts. And there's two primary factors that are sort of bad news for looking at the future. The first of which is probably the most obvious, which is sea levels are rising primarily due to expanding ocean water and more ice melt, and also land subsidence, which is very relevant for a delta region like Louisiana. Mm-hmm. But storm surges are also getting worse, which is what our study found, from other factors as well that bring more water when you get storms like hurricanes, even after accounting for sea level rise. So this is really adding to a not so great outlook for the future for managing coastal storms.
So on one hand, we'd be talking about the surge itself coming with the storm, and that would be a result of the intensity of the storm, the sea level, and also, I guess, what you're talking about, subsidence, where the land sinks, right? So that means all means higher elevation of water. Am I right so far?
Yeah, that's correct. And what we're really looking at in our study is a trend in the average amount of water that comes in when you have a hurricane or another coastal storm in a coastal region. And for some parts of the U.S., the average amount of water that's coming in for each storm is increasing at a positive rate. And this includes places like the Gulf Coast.
Is the Gulf Coast more vulnerable than other parts of the country?
The Gulf Coast faces some unique hazard aspects related to storm surge, primarily due just to the strength of the storms. In places like Louisiana and Mississippi, you see some of the highest storm surge elevations in the world, actually, which is not good news for managing coastal storms in that area. And some of these storms can bring walls of water upwards to 30 feet, like we've seen during Katrina. Mm-hmm. Additionally, some of these some locations along the Gulf Coast have some of the highest rates of land subsidence in the country, and this is resulting in very, very fast rates of relative sea level rise that, again, really just adds to the problem.
What did you find in your research? Maybe it's not getting as much attention as it should?
Well, I'd say that determining the frequency of some of these rare events is quite challenging. The events are rare, and so they're also challenging to measure because you don't have measurement stations everywhere. So you have them in sparse locations. So it's really an ongoing task to figure out how frequent some of these rare events are occurring. And there's really just a lot of uncertainty that remains in understanding how frequent some of these major coastal flood events occur.
So what do you do about it?
Well, I mean, I think you can really take several approaches for managing the problem. There's some of them involve sort of moving away from the coastline, sometimes called coastal retreat. You can also defend against those walls of water with barriers that are already there and around New Orleans. Unfortunately, because of the high storm surge hazard climate of that region, you need really high walls. Then you can also just live with the water, too. This is an approach that's being taken more and more now. Just build with allowing the water to move in when it comes in. This is a very popular approach in the Netherlands. So those are the primary three ways of dealing with it. Which one gets chosen really just sort of plays out in the planning discourse.
So what do the Netherlands do? What is the deal there?
So the Netherlands is also in a delta region. Much of the country lies below sea level, and they've been dealing with floods since the time of the Romans or beyond. And so their storm surge climate is a bit different. They don't have as extreme of storms like Louisiana does, but they take a number of very innovative approaches for dealing with the coastal flood problem. So they do everything from building billion-dollar gates and levees to generating ways to keep the beaches intact through forming beaches that look in certain ways. They also allow for flooding to come in certain parts of the country. So they take a very broad range of approaches for dealing with the coastal flood problem there.
We've had a lot of discussions here about coastal restoration and how it knocks down storm surge. But if the storm surge is getting higher, does that in turn eliminate some of or mitigate whatever you're trying to do to restore the coast, either tear it down or not keeping up enough with it? If any of that makes sense, DJ?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, in terms of restoration, you could return the land to nature. You can move away. If there's nothing there to get damaged, then that kind of solves the problem. You can also do things like adding in more mangroves or seagrasses or places that have tried oyster beds. These do work for more smaller scale storms. They particularly are good at breaking up waves. But in some places, like parts of the Gulf Coast, you get these really, really big walls of water that are 10 to 20 feet high. Some of those approaches are kind of limited. So it's really a contextual problem. In some places, you have space to allow for restoring nature to kind of help things. But in some places, you really don't have that luxury. And you have to kind of think about more engineered solutions that are kind of more tried and tested.
So, you know, look, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm tired of trying to convince anybody of anything, and there's no point in doing that because you're never gonna. People believe what they want to believe, and that's fine. This is America. You can believe whatever you want. But I always try to follow, for my own information, the money. And I try to follow, pardon me, when it comes to planning what businesses are doing and what the military is doing and what attention they're paying to different things. And that brings me to sea levels rising, climate changing, et cetera. That's kind of what your business is all about. You, climate risk analytics. Tell me what you do.
Yeah. So I think what's really becoming clear is that I think there's a lot of uncertainty around how frequent some of these extreme events are happening. People are experiencing natural disasters where they are, I mean, which is sort of a normal thing. But I think there's just more and more people living in areas that are exposed to natural hazards. And in an evolving climate, it's possible that some of these hazards are becoming worse. For example, for coastal flooding, we're pretty sure that hazard is getting worse, primarily due to sea level rise and now in some places changes in the extreme water levels that come in with the average storm. So people are looking for information to make better decisions, to plan for the future, to ensure that their businesses are operating. And so that's what our company provides.
So if you're going to follow the money, as I said, and try to determine what you think is true, what you think is not true, if you're going to look at what the military is saying, if you look at the Department of Defense is saying, what government agencies are saying, if you look at what businesses, private businesses are saying and how they're reacting, there is no doubt from their reaction, I'm guessing it would be fair to say, that there is substantial climate change going on. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I think there's things that we know for sure. And there are some things that, you know, we're still not quite sure. I mean, we know we're pretty confident, scientists are pretty confident that climate change is making temperatures warmer pretty much everywhere around the world. We're pretty sure that climate change is raising sea levels higher on average pretty much everywhere around the world. There's some things that we're not so clear about. For example, tornadoes and climate change is sort of an active area of research, where we're trying to understand if thunderstorms that produce tornadoes are more intense or more frequent in a warming world. Some of these things are very active areas of foundational research, and so they're harder to link to climate change. But I think in many cases, we're living in a more uncertain world with a changing environment. So I think it's best to err on the side of caution and potentially overplan for the future.
When it comes to, real quick before we let you go, press conferences, hurricane season started, the weather guy, you know, I don't know what his title was, but said that every Category 5 storm that ever hit the United States 3 days before was a tropical storm or less, and it spoke to rapid intensification. I guess that factors into this storm surge model as well?
You're right. So sea surface temperatures have risen substantially since the 1970s for many reasons, partly due to warmer atmospheric temperatures. And so that is a risk factor for having stronger storms like rapid intensification. And so our study detects a trend in storm surges, but doesn't really go into the specifics about why that's occurring. And there are many possible reasons, and having more stronger storms is one possible driver of that trend.
So higher storm surge, rapid intensification leads to a more perilous situation, I guess what I'm saying, right?
100%.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your time. DJ Rasmussen, former researcher at Princeton, now runs a climate risk analytics firm. We'll take a break. We come back every other Tuesday. We devote to mental health. We're going to talk with Dr. Judy Hoke, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. The president and Elon Musk have had some difficulties in their relationship. However, you don't have to be a celebrity or a powerful man or a rich person to have troubles with adult friends and to kind of figure out how to either patch things up or end a friendship gracefully. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 9:28 now. We spend every other Tuesday talking about mental health with our friend Dr. Judy Ho, a clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, and a author of several books. How you doing, Dr. Judy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Tommy?
I am okay. You know, there's been a high-profile breakup as of late with the most powerful man in the world and the richest man in the world having some being at loggerheads, having some problems with their relationship. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about adult friendships with you, because you don't have to be powerful or rich to be an adult and have friends and sometimes have problems with adult friends. And is it a lot different than being a kid, Dr. Judy?
I don't think it's a lot different from being a kid, although I would say that as adults, possibly, it's not always true, but possibly as adults, you know a little bit more of what you're looking for in a friendship, and you're not tied to the same people all the time because of some type of structured environment, like having to see them all the time at school. Mm-hmm. So you have a little bit more choice, but I also think that then friendships get neglected too, because it takes so much effort to keep them up if you're not already going to see them every single day.
What are some of the steps toward maintaining, well, first of all, establishing an adult friendship? Let's talk about adults making new friends. How hard is it for people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, et cetera, to make new friends? I don't know if we're having some technical issue or Dr. Judy thinks that's the stupidest question she's ever heard. Or maybe both. Dr. Judy, are you there? She might have thought it was the stupidest question she ever had. Tim, let's take a break, if we can, for traffic and more, and we'll come back with Dr. Judy is back. So maybe it was a...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Technical issue, Dr. Judy, or do you think it was the dumbest question you've ever heard? I'm going with dumbest question. Let's take the break. We'll be back. WWL. Right now, traffic, perhaps, or not. We'll see. 9:37, 23 till 10. Good Lord willing, Dr. Judy joins us now, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Dr. Judy, you good? You there? Do you have me muted, perhaps?
No, I have you muted, but okay. Yes, I think we're back. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I just want to make sure that the Marines haven't landed or anything, because I know you're in L.A.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Let's talk.
You know, you never know.
Yeah, let's talk about, I didn't wonder if they were planting a flag and, you know, Luca was helping them plant the flag or not. Let's talk about making new friends as an adult. How does one go about it without freaking that person out if it's they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, et cetera? Not necessarily dating, just making a friend. How do you go about it?
I know. It's a lot more effort, right? Because you're not seeing people every single day, like at school or at a very regular job, perhaps. And as adults, people start to have other responsibilities. Maybe you want to hang out. They're like, sorry, I got other plans already with other friends or my kids or my family. So I think that it is important, though, to know that as adults, it's just as important to have friends. And that maybe finding a new friend doesn't have to be such a big deal, doesn't have to be so intimidating, if you can just find somebody who might share an interest with you. And so it does involve a little bit of you putting yourself out there, like joining some kind of community, whether it's a church or some kind of adult recreation program that your city hosts. I don't know if you guys have a lot of those, but, you know, our city has adult recreation programs where, you know, you can join like a softball team on the weekend, or, you know, you can go on an outing. They do it like every 3 or 4 months. They'll do an outing, like a wine tasting in the area. And it's probably the easiest way, unless you want all your friends to come from places that you work, which can be convenient, but maybe you want to expand your horizon. So I think that if you can find some kind of community and then reach out to somebody who seems like-minded, who you're interested in getting to know, it's really just about low pressure stuff, you know, like let's go grab a cup of coffee. Let's go grab a beer. Doesn't have to be a long drawn out thing. Just see if there's chemistry there. But just like anything else in life, anything good takes hard work. So if you want to keep an adult friendship, you do have to keep in touch with that person. You do have to reach out from time to time and make sure that you're spending quality time with them. And really it's the quality connections that matter the most rather than having 50 or 100 friends. You know, if you have 3 to 5 great friends, it really has a lot more benefit than the other example that I just mentioned.
Somebody texted in and said their parents always told them that you can be friendly with the people you work with, but not friends. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think that that's really something that depends on the profession that you're in and also depends on your personal preference. I think that's largely up to you in terms of your comfort level. People I work with, Tommy, are mostly my students at the university or my patients at my private practice or plaintiffs that I'm evaluating as an expert witness in the case. Clearly, I'm not going to be friends with any of them. But sometimes there are work environments where friendships are really natural and make sense because they're totally collegial. Like my husband is a physician and he's friends with a group of people who he works with, you know, nurses, other doctors, administrators. And it's very natural in that environment to do that. And so I think it's one up to what kind of work you're doing and what kind of boundaries there needs to be. And secondly, some people just don't really like to work and kind of mix their friends with their work environment, and especially dating. So one of my really good friends just broke up with this guy. Unfortunately, he's in a superior position to her at work, and now she's kind of trapped, you know? So if friendships don't go well, they go awkward. I can see why this listener is saying, maybe it's best just to be acquaintances.
Well, and that brings me, you know, like in the military, they call it fraternization, I think, not to bring the Marines back into this, but they do have rules against that. And I don't know how today, especially in today's environment, I don't know that it's a good thing to that a boss and a subordinate can really have a relationship outside of work, can they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some companies have explicit rules against that. Other companies, maybe it's not written in the manual, but maybe once you look back, it might be better if it wasn't. So my friend happens to be a performer, so they're in a show together. It's a little different. I'm not really sure about the manuals for that, but you know, but basically he's the director of the show and she's a performer in it. So it's not great, you know, it's not great because this is her livelihood and it's his livelihood as well, except he gets to tell her what to do. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very awkward right now. But I think you're right. You know, obviously for certain fraternization policies, you really need to go look at that employee manual and make sure. But even friendships can get sometimes awkward, right? Because, you know, factions can form, cliques can develop. It can feel really great at first, but then it kind of becomes a us versus them thing in certain points. And that might make work not so pleasant. And so I understand that sometimes you have to draw a couple of lines. But I do think that it's important to still have community where you work. So you don't have to be close friends, but it's good to be friendly. It's good to have acquaintances. It's good to have people that you know you can count on if you need to, you know, get a day off or have a work question and you want to confide in somebody that you think you can trust. That's still important, right? Because for most of us who are currently in the workforce, we're spending a big part of our waking lives working. So it would be very isolating and lonely if you really just felt like you had nobody to turn to at once.
So we've struck a nerve here with the Oakmont Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Please don't ever text and drive. With the, I guess, the troubles in the friendship between the president and Elon Musk, people texting in about adult friendships and some problems that they're having. One text that I've gotten from three different sources involves a friend and a spouse, and apparently their friend got married in one case, and they're not crazy about the spouse, and it's interfering with the friendship. How do you manage and balance all of that?
Yeah, that's very, very tricky, because you love your friend. Maybe you don't love their spouse. Mm-hmm. You still want your friend in your life, but the friend is like, I want to bring my spouse along to every single thing that you do. That's tough, right? So I think there's a couple of things. I mean, one thing is, I think generally, obviously, sometimes your friend might confide in you, complain about the spouse. You might feel like this is the best time to let loose and say, yeah, you know what? I never liked him in the first place. Mm. But they're probably going to stay together, and then it's going to be ultra awkward for you, and your friend probably will tell her spouse or his spouse. So it's probably not a great idea, even though you might feel like you've been holding it in all this time. Try not to badmouth the spouse. But I think that the first step really is to ask your friend for some alone time. You know, hey, I just want to do something just me and you. It has nothing to do with a spouse. I mean, you can like the spouse and still want that, you know? And so I think that it's okay to ask your friend for that. You know, I just miss our time together, just the two of us. Can we do something just the two of us this weekend, as opposed to bringing your spouse or our spouses along? I think that's one way to cultivate that connection still. But also, I think you just have to ask yourself, honestly, can you tolerate the spouse? Because if you love your friend that much, and assuming that they're going to stay with their spouse for a long time and maybe forever, will you be able to just deal with it so that you can still see the person that you love? And you have to put your pride aside and really ask yourself that honest question. And if you can't, then that might mean a new phase in your friendship. That might mean that you and your friend might have to be more distant. And it is kind of a grieving process that we go through when our friendships transition through different stages.
Somebody texted in and said that they have a friend since...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Third grade, and now the friend's spouse is trying to turn them against the person that texted in. I guess is what they're saying. I got my pronouns mixed up here. But you understand what I'm saying, where the spouse, I guess, doesn't approve of the friendship and is trying to break it up is what's going on.
That's super sad. And, you know, it's not the first person who's ever experienced that. And I think in this case, you know, it's hard because you don't want to put your friend in the middle, right? You do want to be honest with both people that are involved. So should be honest with your friend about what you're seeing, which is, I think your spouse is trying to break up our friendship and is jealous for some reason. And you should also talk to the spouse directly. Like, why are you trying to break up our friendship? You know, what is it about this friendship that bothers you so much? You're not going to get any answers unless you talk to them directly. And even when you do, sometimes you won't get answers either. They might try to, you know, avoid directly answering the question. They might make excuses. They might just outrightly deny that that's what they're doing. So, you know, but if you want to have any chance of salvaging the relationship, it is important to communicate directly. And oftentimes there are possessive spouses for whatever reason, right? And you can't control their behavior, but you can call them out on it and find out why and hopefully come to some kind of resolution. I think that sometimes when spouses do this, it's because they don't want to share time or they think that maybe the friend is a bad influence. You may not be, but that may be what they're thinking. But oftentimes it's because they don't want to share time. They're possessive. They want that person to themselves. It's not necessarily the healthiest thing, but if your friend wants to be in a relationship with this spouse, then you have to deal with it if you want that friendship. And so you have to do the awkward thing, have the conversation that's uncomfortable, and hopefully find some middle way that everybody can compromise on.
This is an interesting text. An uninvolved third party, apparently that has no bearing on anything, so no grudge, no nothing, repeated something that indicated the friend's spouse was smack-talking them behind their back, and now they don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah, you know, smack talk, gossip happens at every single age.
It's a long text, but apparently what happened is a person left the room and then came back and asked the professional, "Or is it okay to go in?" And the professional said, yeah, because the whatever the spouse was looking for, and then a description that wasn't very nice of the person.
Yeah, I mean, smack talk happens at every age and stage, right? All of a sudden go away because we grow out of it. It comes from a place that's obviously sometimes petty or just inconsiderate, like you think it's a funny thing to say. You know, you have to clear the air. You know, I think that even in the most awkward of situations, the most important thing is to communicate it, is to directly call it out. And if it just happened in that moment, obviously now this is in the past, but in general and in the future, as soon as you hear about it, you need to call it out and you need to deal with it, right?
Really?
Because otherwise resentment builds.
I would say just stuff it way down there. Stuff it way down there with booze, as far as you can stuff it. No? That's not right?
I mean, that's another way. That's another alternate
stuff
strategy.
Stuff it way down there. You don't ever want to bring that up again. Just stuff it way down there and forget.
Exactly.
So yeah. Somebody else texted in here, and I guess it's something else I wanted to get to as we talk about this, about maintaining adult friendships. Do you have to put a lot of work into it, or do you just presume that the person's going to be there, et cetera?
Yeah, I think that you do have to put some effort. I mean, you have to understand that with adult friendships, it's going to be more effort in general than your childhood friendships, because there was more of a ready-made place that you guys probably often saw each other, or you guys just had more time on your hands. I mean, that's how we were when we were children, right? As opposed to adults with our responsibilities and family and other obligations. So you do have to put more effort. You have to be able to have more give and take. Maybe this weekend is not that convenient for you, but it's when they're available. And if you don't see them now, you might not see them for another month or two. So then you just make it work. You suck it up, you know, if the friendship is important to you. But this is what I mean by you don't need 50 friends. That's too exhausting. And it's not even as pleasing or as beneficial. And so just keep a small circle of close friends who you really value and that you're willing to put in the effort for, because it's too hard to keep up with so many friends, but maybe a little less hard to keep up with just 3 to 5. And again, just also curtail your own expectations. You're not going to be seeing this friend every single day, like my college friends who I always saw for dinner. It's like a super tight group. We're always together every single day. Like, that's just not going to happen most likely as an adult. But, you know, if you get to see each other once a month, talk on the phone a couple times a week, that's a lot already, you know? So it's also just knowing that expectations are a little bit different as adults and in adult friendships. And you don't have to be on them every single day to know that that connection is there, especially if it's a really quality person.
Somebody, this is interesting and it's long, so I'll try to get through it. But basically, I think what they're saying is they've been friends for decades and lately they've grown apart, that one person has been doing most of the texting just every now and then to say hi. And the response to the text that the person that has been texting has been sending has been kind of curt, and they get the sense that this decades-long friend is no longer interested in being friends, and they don't know what to do.
Well, Tommy, that sucks, but I've definitely been there. And sometimes you keep trying. You're like, oh, what is it about me? Are they upset with me? They may not be upset with you at all. That may not even be the case. You know, if it is, then you should find out. Mm-hmm. But if it's more just like they seem like they're a little bit less interested, that happens to friendships, and it's really sad when it does, and it's hard to make sense of it. But I think it's also important to know that sometimes friends are for a season. Sometimes friends are for a long season, as in this case, decades long. But maybe something happened in their life that, you know, they're just not as interested in maintaining the connection. And it's not fair for you to be the person to have to primarily maintain the connection, because nobody wants to go where they're not wanted, and it doesn't make you feel good about yourself. So if you check yourself and you know that you put in your full effort and that there isn't anything else to talk about, clear the air, like maybe there is something that some upset that they're holding on to. If you feel like you've done all those things and this person is still acting this way, then you have to grieve that relationship and say goodbye. And I don't mean say goodbye like never talk again, but just more like saying goodbye to that period of time when you guys were very close. Now they're probably more just like a distant friend or an acquaintance, but you still have those memories from when you were close, and nothing can take that away. And that doesn't invalidate it just because they're kind of different now. I know that that's hard to hear, but trust me, I've been through something like that, and it takes time to really process it. And it is a grieving process. It's a big loss, right? It's a loss and you have to make sense of it. But loss is one of the most universal things that we all deal with as humans. So talk to somebody about it. Talk to somebody else that you trust. It really helps to connect with somebody else, because trust me, there's a lot of people who've been through that experience.
I'm no Dr. Judy, because, you know, I'm the stuff it down with brown guy. But I'll tell you, it would seem as though if they were the ones that for the last couple of years were doing all of the texting, that should have kind of told them that things were, right?
Changing, right. Yeah, they're not changing. The same.
Is it normal to, and we'll let you go after this, Dr. Judy, but somebody else texted in, is it normal to realize that a friendship's not going to be forever, that friendships end? That's just part of it.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably like the wisest thing, wisest thought that maybe we can hold on to is that, yeah, sometimes friendships end, right? I mean, you kind of want to feel like friendships are forever, but I mean, sometimes even family relationships aren't forever. I know people who are completely distant from their family.
No.
And of course,
really?
Romantic relationships.
Seriously?
And of course, right, I know, right? And of course, romantic relationships obviously end until you find the person that you might want to spend your forever with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, relationships in general tend to serve a role and and very few of them last and stand the test of time, and a lot of them don't. That doesn't take away from how great they were when they were in full bloom, right? And some of my college friends, I still love them, but I haven't talked to them in ages. It doesn't change the fact that we had some amazing memories together. And if I saw them again, I'd love to see them again. But none of us are really making the effort to try to connect with each other on a regular basis anymore. And to me, that's okay. You know, it's okay to reminisce about those times, too. I mean, certain times are just easier, right? I mean, there are some college friends who I'm still super close to now. We always say, oh, I miss the time when we just walk down the street and could just go to dinner impromptu. Yeah, you're just missing a certain time of life. So when you miss a friend, you're also missing possibly a certain time of your life.
Very interesting conversation, Dr. Judy. We got to run. I appreciate your time. I really do. What I say in The Godfather, you can never lose your family. 9:54, taking a break, coming back on WWL.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.